Blog Talk Radio.
So we are back on the air. We kind of took an extended vacation last week. Spent some time at bikes, blues, and barbecue over the weekend. And actually had a pretty good time. A good friend of mine, a cousin, band, was in action. Three nights and two nights in one afternoon. So, spent 3 days on Dixon Street, bikes, blues, and barbecue, and it was a whole lot of fun. I think I found a motorcycle that I'm just completely in love with, and so I'll probably say, hopefully, if things work out by this time next year, it will be mine. Oh, yes, it will. Clint Davis.
Yo.
My cohort in crime. What is going on, my brother?
You sound like you're either in a barrel or a bathroom.
I know, and I don't know what it is. I've tried working on this microphone all day. I don't have a clue.
Huh.
All right. Well, I switched laptops. I switched computers. And I'm using the same mic that I was using on the old laptop. But for some reason, people are saying I sound like I'm in a bathroom with them.
Yeah, if you right-click on your sound icon down there by your clock and you click on recording devices, that should be the option. Anyway, you can click on your microphone and it will give you options to make it sound better.
Okay, hold on a minute. Let's see what we got over here. Yeah, because it's like hardly registering on the little microphone on here. Here. I have no clue, Bubby.
Oh, well. We'll work it out.
Oh, yeah, we'll get it there. So, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good, man. It was full of football and good things, and it worked, man. It's going great.
Yeah, we kind of took it with bikes, blues, and barbecue going on. We kind of took an extended vacation. And, like I was mentioning, a cousin of mine's band played 3 days for bikes, blues, and barbecue, and they put on a 3 outstanding show. E and the boys. They got it going on.
Nice.
And like I say, I found a motorcycle I think I'm in love with. So, I don't know. Hold on, let me try this button right here. See how that helps. Did that help any?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet. Okay.
Not really.
Not really. Okay. I'm just going through everything, trying to find crap that, I don't know. We'll make do with it. It don't sound too bad. Just sound like I'm in a barrel. So anyway, we got Sean Bill. He's in the chat room. Sean, I don't know why I sound like I'm in a barrel. I tried it. Sean says it's better than last week. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. How'd your football teams do over the weekend?
In one of my leagues, the one that doesn't matter, I failed miserably. In my league with some buddies of mine, some guys I grew up with, guys I was in the Navy with, some other folks. I am up 128 to 120, and he's got nobody left to play, and I still have who do I have? Tonight I've got Denver's tight end, and then I've got Denver's running back and Denver's defense, and I'm up by 8 points, and he's got nobody left. So Hakeem Nicks didn't score anything for him yesterday, and neither did Fred Davis, Washington's tight end. They didn't score anything. Miles Austin only scored 3 points for him. Vincent Jackson, Tampa Bay's wide receiver, of course, he is injured for some reason now, and he only scored 4 points. Mine was ridiculous. Cam Newton scored 28 points, Pierre Garçon 12 points, Stevie Johnson 13 points. The returning Josh Gordon, who was on a two-game suspension for Cleveland after getting busted with drugs, he put up 27 points. Jamal Charles put up 26 points. And, Chris Johnson for Tennessee, he didn't do – I mean, he put up 9.6 against San Diego, which I guess is okay. My kicker, Blair Walsh from Minnesota, put up 8.3, and now I've got three guys left tonight. So, man, you should have seen Josh Gordon yesterday. It was – holy geez. You know, Cleveland, they've done something now. They get rid of their franchise running back, which is probably the stupidest move ever. I mean, yeah, they get two first-round picks next year in the draft, but, you know, they give up Trent Richardson. They could have turned him into a great football player. Well, you know,
what were they thinking?
They can't base a team off a running back. That's just they can't do that. I think they're gonna end up dropping Hoyer and Brandon Whedon next year, and I think they're probably gonna try to pick up the best quarterback in the NFL draft this year, and a running back. That's probably what they're gonna do. They're probably gonna take their first round pick and grab a quarterback, and then their second first round pick and grab a running back. And kind of start over. They don't play smart football in Cleveland. They've never been known for making good business decisions. I don't know who's running that team. But, they gave up Trent Richardson to the Colts, who I don't think did very well yesterday, but that's okay. He only had a few days to learn a new playbook and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was kind of expected. But, Cleveland, they get rid of their franchise running back, and they, you know, their starting quarterback is injured. They put in two backups to run the team, and they win a game. I mean, I'm down with that. They beat Minnesota 31-27, and Coach Rob Chudzinski for Cleveland denied that they're shopping Josh Gordon around. Adam Schefter has twice reported the Browns are fielding and receiving trade offers for Josh Gordon. Chudzinski said, we have no plan on doing that. He said, we believe the Browns aren't trying to trade Gordon when the October trade deadline passes and he isn't on another team. Oh, that's when they'll believe it. He was targeted 19 times in his first game yesterday after his suspension. And there's every reason to believe that Gordon is being showcased. So, yeah, Cleveland did pretty well. Dallas did wonderful yesterday.
I tell you, the two teams that impressed me this weekend – and that was the Thursday night game featuring the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philly Eagles. And then Chicago against Pittsburgh last night.
Yeah, that was a little disgusting, if you ask me. I don't know what the deal is with Pittsburgh, but they're 0-3. Chicago's now 3-0. Yeah, Chicago, they put up 17 points in the first quarter, and then they ended up throwing up 13 in the fourth. They forced five turnovers on the Steelers. Bears defense did. They forced five turnovers on the Steelers. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been paying closer attention to the Bears the last couple of years. But I'm talking, I think last night was the best I've seen Jay Cutler play, period.
You know, everybody was real down on him. You know, he threw a few picks in the game before, and you know, last week, and it wasn't very good for anybody on the Bears, but you know, he gets over the hump here. He has a bad game, throws a couple of picks, and then he comes back last night, and geez, I mean, they mauled the Steelers 40-23. I mean, it was just it was ridiculous. And the Chiefs, man, you know, the Chiefs are a hot waiver wire pick on in my league, and their defense put up 31 points the other day. I mean, on Thursday, they, as far as fantasy football goes, they put up 31 fantasy points, and they killed it. Yeah, Smith was 22 for 35, 273 yards. He didn't throw a touchdown pass, but Jamal Charles, 20 carries, 92 yards, one touchdown. I've got Jamal Charles on my team. This Avery character is good. The wide receiver, 7 receptions, 141 yards, 0 TDs. You know, the Eagles were pushing for a little comeback there at the end of the game, and then Michael Vick, man, just right there at the end, 2 minutes left, goes down and fumbles the ball. They pull him out of the game. They put the backup quarterback in. They didn't look good. The Eagles didn't look like they knew what they were doing.
Right. Well, you know, like I say, well, let's look at, you know, Andy Reid. That game was handpicked for Kansas City, because you're playing Andy Reid's old team. So he knew the tendencies and the weaknesses of all the players there. So he kind of had an inside scoop on where they needed to go.
Man, you know, I couldn't understand a word you were saying there.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound way better now. I don't know what you just did, but you sound a whole lot better.
Well, I'm looking straight at the microphone.
Yeah, keep looking straight at the microphone.
Well, so anyway, no, what I said was
that Philadelphia game for Kansas City, that was a hand-picked game.
Man, you did it again. It muffled like crazy.
Huh. This is weird.
It is. You sound good right now, and then you get to talking. It's like mid-sentence. It just, like you've got a pedal or something down there you're hitting that's just changing, like you're playing a guitar or something.
I'm not hitting nothing, man. I'm just standing here dead still.
That's what she said.
No, but I'll talk slow. Maybe that will help. No,
speak slowly.
Speak slowly.
No, carry a big stick.
Yes. Thursday night, or a ball bat.
Dope. Cheap shot.
So Thursday night, I mean, that game was handpicked for Kansas City because, you know, that's where Andy Reid coached last year. So he knew the players, or most of the players. He knew the weaknesses. And so he kind of knew, they kind of had an insight on what players to pick on.
You sound terrible now.
I'm sorry.
Now you sound better. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either.
Like 1 second, everything's fine. The next second, crap.
Hmm.
I'm trying to click on some settings here to see what I've got. If you go into your recording devices and right click on microphone and click on properties, try to go over to advanced and see if there's, or enhancements or levels, and see if there's anything, you know, that you can do, like noise suppression or acoustic echo cancellation or something.
All right.
I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know either. All right.
Can you hear me fine?
I hear you perfect.
Cool.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey, I wanted to bring something up real quick. Let me get to it real fast. And our buddy Sean Bales, they've got some stuff going on.
Yeah, the T-shirt.
Yeah. I guess back in August, this is who he described to me as his niece by marriage. I guess the girl's mom and his wife are cousins. I guess that would make a cousin by marriage, some type of second cousin by marriage or something. Her name was Adriana Horton. She was 12 years old and went missing. And then unfortunately, they found her dead. The kidnapper, the murderer, is in custody. His name is Bobby Bourne Jr. He's 34, lives in Lamar. He was arrested and charged with felony kidnapping, and he's being held on a $1 million bond. Shouldn't he be charged with more than that? I don't understand. I don't know. Maybe I got to read the whole story to know exactly what happened. There was a massive search for this girl, and unfortunately, they didn't. You know, and it kind of hits home for me. I've got a 12-year-old. You know, I don't have a 12-year-old daughter. I've got a 12-year-old son. But I don't think it would make any difference in a case like this. You know, I mean, it's a 12-year-old is a 12-year-old. It's a tragic, a very, very tragic situation. So they've got some T-shirts that they're selling. It's a memorial shirt. It says, in loving memory of Adriana Marie Horton, 4/19/01 to 8/19/13. I can't really read what's on the front here, but that's what's on the back, and it's got a picture of a little girl reaching up to a horse. Sean said, been messaging him on Facebook. Sean said that, I just scrolled way too far up.
Team logo Wolfpack.
Oh, okay, Wolfpack. Yeah, he said this is his way of contributing to the family. The team will be wearing these T-shirts for his fight Saturday night. Of course, you know, Sean Bales has a fight coming up here. I don't have all the details on his fight. I wish I did. I wish I had it right in front of me. Also, speaking of, while we're talking about shows, I had some things happen today. Got a really, really good phone call that I've been waiting on for a long time. And well, I say a long time, probably 3 or 4 months. And anyway, I'm not going to get into what it was about, but XFI Live will be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to be prime time. David Grayson is going to be on the show, and he's got some things he wants to say. I don't know if he's addressing the whole feud with the XFI heavyweight champion Chris Brookfield or the challenger that he'll be facing for the super heavyweight championship at Extreme Night of Champions, Mr. Sean Bales. I don't know who he's going to be addressing, but...
Now, why is that fight not taking place? I thought that was the big talk with Grayson Brookfield, too.
It was. You know, you were the kind of the catalyst behind the rematch, you know. And, of course, you know, people may not know this, and I know you probably remember it as well as I do. But,
oh yeah.
You know, after the fight was over with, you kind of got in the cage and kind of got the rematch to happen. You got both the guys to agree to it right there on the spot with a microphone in hand. Which was an excellent move, by the way, and you know, of course, if people don't know the details, our heavyweight champion Chris Brookfield faced David Grayson at the last event back in June, Extreme Infinity, and David did not make weight. He missed the heavyweight division by 2 pounds. There was probably a 27-pound weight difference between the two guys, though. So it was a significant amount of weight in between. It wasn't, you know, just about the 2 pounds. There, you know, I think that's why they took the title off the line. You know, they still let him go as an exhibition match type of thing. And David Grayson came out on top. He won, and the referee had stopped due to strikes in the last round, the third round, and... So we had kind of planned on a rematch here for October 26th. Chris Brookfield got injured. I guess there's something wrong, like a meniscus tear, I believe, and he's been waiting on an MRI, and there's some other things happening there I may not have all the details on. But, so he is definitely not going to be able to fight. And, you know, I came across Sean Bales after one of the show fight events up in Branson. You know, I watched him fight up there. Maybe it was right before. I think I got a hold of him. Didn't know him. I had no clue who he was, but I like the heavyweight fights, the super heavyweights. And I got a hold of him, and we started talking, and I watched him get in the cage that night, and one thing led to another, and we got him hooked up with XFI. So now we've brought somebody down, new talent in from Wolfpack MMA up in Grove, Oklahoma, And that's Sean Bales. So he's going to be fighting with us in October, and hopefully, you know, everything goes well and we get to bring him back. And yeah, so, you know, David Grayson had some things to say. He issued a statement to me for last Friday's show, and we made some waves. You know, there were some people who had a response to that and shot me messages immediately, and people were texting me during the show. And, you know, so now David Grayson and Sean Bales are going to be fighting here coming up for the super heavyweight title, and this is going to be big.
Hey, there was a big fight over in Oklahoma this weekend. I wanted to mention Saturday night, Demario Cade.
Oh yeah,
who's a regular at XFI, went over to Oklahoma and defeated Cody Vitorito for the SCS 125 pound championship.
Yeah, I saw pictures and you know, on Facebook, and you know, he told him to smile. He took a serious picture with the belt after the fight was over. He's a new champion. Going back to Sean Bales, September 28th, Cage of Honor. It's this Saturday in Carthage, Missouri. I don't know if anybody's up that way. If anybody's listening, up in that area, doors open at 6 p.m. And it will be a title fight for the Cage of Honor heavyweight title. He's got two new members, Forrest McDonald and Matthew Davis, along with RJ Couch, I guess, are coming along. So you can catch Sean Bales in Carthage, Missouri, this Saturday, September 28th, at Cage of Honor.
Matter of fact, we got a commercial for that event that we're going to be playing here at our break coming up here in a little bit.
Nice.
So we're stepping
I don't get commercials. Nobody's got commercials for me. I don't know.
Well, because you're XFN. Or you're XFI. You're XFI. So,
right.
I mean, kind of feels weird playing pimping a show for another promotion on a promotional show. Don't you agree? Maybe I'm
wrong. but I'm talking, you know, like fight teams and stuff like that. You know, like we've got, you know, Battleground.
Battlefield.
You know, they've got Battleground's got a really, really good commercial that you run. And, you know, hopefully, I don't know, maybe somebody will put one together for me one of these days. I feel kind of left out.
Oh, well, maybe.
Hey, tonight, man, there's a lot of action going down. Denver is favored by 15 points. Now, that's more than two touchdowns, but I think it's going to be disgusting. Oakland is headed to Denver. Denver's playing at home. I've got Denver's defense, Denver's tight end, and Denver's running back, and I think I'm going to put up probably another 60 points tonight, to be honest with you. I think it's going to get nasty. So Raiders and Broncos tonight. Raiders are 1-1. They're 0-1 in away games. Broncos are 2-0. They're 1-0 at home. And I don't think anybody's going to beat Peyton Manning and the Broncos this year. And if they do, you know, the Chiefs look great, but the Chiefs are not going to beat the Broncos this year. You know, the Bengals, they looked really good against the Packers yesterday. They embarrassed the Packers. It was a sickening win. But I don't think they're going to beat Denver either. I don't think the Chargers can do it. I don't think the Titans can do it. The Patriots, I mean, we all know we're having, you know, a lot of problems with the Patriots wide receivers and Tom Brady. But yesterday, who is that cat that they've got on the
other than they can't stay out of jail?
Kimbrel Tompkins. Who is in jail?
Hernandez or Martinez or whatever his name is.
Oh, just, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he definitely is. I'll tell you my biggest screw-up of fantasy football this week. I didn't play Antonio Brown last night for Pittsburgh. I don't know if you saw his performance. 9 receptions, 196 yards out of this guy, and 2 touchdowns. And I didn't play the guy. You know, he only scored like 10 points the week before. And he went round and round with his offensive coordinator this week, and he stirred the pot a little bit. And he said, "Dude, I need more touches." He said, "If we're going to win ball games, I need to touch the damn ball." And so they let him touch the damn ball, and he put up 36 fantasy points yesterday. I did not play him like an idiot, but I just didn't think he was going to do very well. But they turned it around in Pittsburgh. They didn't win. But they turned their offense around. I think they scored more points yesterday than they have in the first two games combined. So, I take that back. That's not true. They did. Yeah, they only scored 9 points their first game, 10 points their second game, which put them at 19 points. They scored 23 yesterday. So Pittsburgh scored more points yesterday than they did in the first two games combined. So. Next they play Minnesota on September 29th. That's next Sunday at 12 p.m. That will probably be on Fox. I don't know, maybe on CBS. Who knows? I'll have to look it up. But Pittsburgh's got to do something here.
Oh, I know it. I mean, I tell you, the play that really impressed me last night, talking about bouncing back on Jay Cutler for a minute, he did a quarterback scramble. And, most quarterbacks, they try to avoid getting hit. But, Jay Cutler literally put his shoulder down and knocked the defender that tried to tackle him back about 10 feet. And I'm sitting there going, dang. Because you hardly ever see that out of a quarterback anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Just look at RG3, man. This dude's scared to death. Pierre Garçon came out today and said RG3 is just not the same guy. He's a completely different football player. He's a different character, and I don't think he likes the way he's playing.
Yeah. Do you think he's still kind of conscious about the leg?
I think he's very, very conscious about the leg, about the knee. I think he's got a reconstructed knee, and it's just I hate seeing him play like this. He's my quarterback in my other league, the one that really doesn't matter. I'm really not keeping up with it too much, but
the really don't matter league.
Yeah, the really don't matter league. It's called Epic Game Time. It's kind of a play on Epic Meal Time. If you watch that on YouTube, it's all about bacon. But the league that matters is my league. I'm the commissioner of this league. It's called Bloodbath and Beyond. And
my last date.
Wow, it's that time of the month, I guess. Let's talk about the guilty. Let's talk about the two worst losses of the week yesterday. I don't know if you besides the Colts beating the pants off of the 49ers. Look, the Niners put up 7 points in the first quarter, and then they put up nothing in the second, nothing in the third. Nothing in the fourth. Andrew Luck was 18 for 27, 164 yards, no carries. Ahmad Bradshaw was the workhorse still for the Colts. It was not Trent Richardson. Bradshaw, 19 carries, 95 yards, one touchdown. Reggie Wayne, 5 receptions, 63 yards, 0 TDs. Colin Kaepernick, let's talk about Kaepernick for a minute. Do you remember at the very first of football season when everybody was talking about how great Colin Kaepernick is, and I said, he's not a great quarterback. He's an average guy who had a great first year in the league and took a great team to the Super Bowl. Look, Alex Smith still could have taken that team to the Super Bowl. Alex Smith is a quarterback who's obviously, I don't even know if he's peaked yet. I don't know if he's peaked his prime yet. I don't know. But Alex Smith is a great quarterback, and getting rid of him was ridiculous for the Niners, but it was great for the Chiefs, and he'll be the franchise quarterback of the Chiefs. He'll be the face of the Kansas City Chiefs, and people will forget that Alex Smith ever played in San Francisco. Mark my words. But when the first of the season rolled around, I said, this guy is not he's not a great quarterback. He's a freaking average guy that just got thrown into a really good situation, and that's it. So that was one of the bad losses. It was only a 20-point loss, but let's get into the sickening part of it. How about
okay.
the Ravens?
Let's take a commercial break real fast.
Oh, well, it's time.
Then we can get into the sickening part. Hey, once again, we were talking about it earlier. Cage of Honor, they're going to be in action this Saturday night up there in Carthage, Missouri. So stay tuned to this next little commercial right here, and you can find out how to get tickets so you can make your way to Carthage, Missouri. Cage of Honor.
Fight for Honor presents Cage of Honor 58. Saturday, September 28th at Carthage Memorial Hall. Be there for all the blood, sweat, and tears that comes from some of the best cage fighting action in the Midwest. Team Impact, Proving Grounds Gym, Victory Fight Gym, Joplin Brotherhood, Wolfpack MMA, and many more. Plus, a kick fight. It all starts with a benefit dinner at 5 for Mike Hines to help pay for unexpected medical expenses. Arena doors open at 6. Fights start at 7. Cage of Honor 58. Saturday, September 28th at Carthage Memorial Hall. Get your general admission tickets at Sports World in Carthage or online at fightforhonor.com. Cage of Honor 58. Sponsored by Anderson Auto Glass, Sandra Brown State Farm Insurance, Hot Wire Auto Sales, Neosho Graphics, and Zimmer Radio. Fight for Honor. Often imitated, never duplicated. Sanctioned by the Combat Sports Commission.
Battleground Mixed Martial Arts is the perfect place to get started for jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing, wrestling, and grappling. Battleground MMA open to men and women Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. and a ladies-only workout class on Sundays from 6 to 8. Battleground MMA is on the second floor at the corner of Muskogee and Katua. For more info about getting in fighter shape, call Coach Scott Lowe at 479-799-8907. That's 479-799-8907. See them on Facebook at Battleground MMA.
Oh, snap!
All right. Right back here on the Greg Squirrel Show.
Man, this sounds Greg professional. Squirrel.
Clint Davis. What do you think, buddy?
Yeah, this sounds professional now, man. We have commercials. We've got lead-in music. There's all kinds of good stuff going on.
Phone lines are open, 347-326-9073, if you want to call in. Matter of fact, we got a caller holding on the line. We'll get with you in just a second. We were wanting to talk about, real quickly, disappointing games of the weekend.
Oh, not even disappointing. These were disgusting beatdowns. The Ravens beat the Texans 30-9. Nobody
wow.
saw this coming. You know, I mean... Houston's wide receiver, Andre, what is his name? Crap, off the top of my head, I can't think of it. Andre Johnson, is that his name? I'll have to look that up. Anyway, he's a little bit hurt. They had a receiver named Hopkins come in, 6 receptions, 60 yards. Arian Foster rushed 12 times for only 54 yards. That's one of my running backs in the league that doesn't matter. Matt Schaub. 25 for 35, 194 yards, zero touchdowns. Foster, zero touchdowns. Hopkins, zero touchdowns. Ray Rice was injured for Baltimore, their starting running back. So Bernard Pierce got the start. 24 carries, 65 yards, one touchdown. Joe Flacco, 16 for 24, 171 yards. Torrey Smith, 5 receptions, 92 yards. Ravens beat the Texans 30-9, and that's not even the worst beatdown of the week. I'll talk about that here in a second. But both these teams are 2-1 now. You know, perennially, the Texans and the Ravens, they're good in the AFC. I almost said the UFC, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. UFC 165, there no doubt will get down on Bones Jones from this weekend. But Texans and the Ravens are perennial powerhouses in the AFC. Everybody knows that. They're always good, kind of like the Patriots, who are definitely struggling a little bit, but not as bad as the Jets. Jets are always going to have some problems. They did win yesterday. The Jets won 27-20. They're 2-1. They were very, very sloppy. You know, we had two rookie quarterbacks going at it. Buffalo, E.J. Manuel. Was 19 for 42, 243 yards, one touchdown. Geno Smith for New York was 16 for 29, 331 yards, two touchdown passes. They did great. Powell, the running back, 27 carries, 149 yards, zero touchdowns. Santonio Holmes, got five receptions, 154 yards on five catches. He had 154 of Geno Smith's 331 passing yards. He had, also had a touchdown there, and just did a great job, the Jets did. So, actually, the worst beatdown of the week here, and I'm going to call it, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, look at the Seahawks beat the Jaguars 45-17. Right, but the Jaguars suck. They're 0-3. Seahawks are 3-0. You can't beat Russell Wilson or a Pete Carroll offense. You're not going to beat a Pete Carroll offense. The worst beatdown here was, ironically, the worst defeat, the worst loss in the Tom Coughlin era. I'm sorry. Panthers 38, Giants 0.
Wow. That's
Can you mad. Tell me how to get to Sesame Street? Now, Cam Newton, I was going to bench Cam Newton. Honestly, you know, in my league that matters,
Sesame Street.
You know, both my teams are NWO, and I've got a picture of Hogan Hall and Nash for my icons there.
Hey, yo.
Scott Hall did an interview, actually, a couple of days ago, and it kind of made headlines. But anyway, Cam Newton is my starting quarterback. Like I said, he put up 28 points for me. I was about to bench him and put Phillip Rivers in. You know, Phillip Rivers for San Diego has been doing a great job. You know, he put up 22 fantasy points in week one against Houston. He put 28.7 points in week two against Philadelphia. I'm glad I put Cam Newton back in my starting lineup right at the end of, you know, before the lineups were due yesterday, right before noon. It was about 11:58 in the morning, and I second-guessed myself. I put Cam Newton back in the ball game. I'm glad I did
and then
that.
And then he goes nuts on you.
He, you know, he's done terrible. Cam Newton has not looked good all season. You know, he only put up 12 points in week one, 14 points in week two. I started noticing – this is my luck. I started noticing all my friends that had Cam Newton in other leagues were benching the guy. And I looked at myself and I said, Clint, every time everybody benches a player, he ends up going ballistic in the very next game. So
right.
I let all these people bench Cam Newton. I put him back in. Phillip Rivers only scored 10 points. Thank God he was on my bench. Cam Newton put up 28 fantasy points, 28.22 fantasy points. It was ridiculous. He was 15 for 27, 223 yards, three touchdown passes. You know, he did have an interception. D'Angelo Williams, 23 carries, 120 yards, no touchdowns. Ted Ginn Jr., who has was with where was he last year? San Francisco?
No clue.
I think he was. Three receptions, 71 yards, one touchdown. He is now wide receiver with Carolina. Eli Manning looks silly. You know, E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith put up better numbers than Eli Manning did. Eli was 12 for 23, 119 yards, no touchdowns. What kind of Super Bowl MVP throws for 119 yards on a marginal Carolina defense?
I have no clue. Hey, let's talk UFC. Let's talk MMA in general. Speaking of talking MMA, on the phone line, Mike, what day is it?
It's Monday.
Squirrel! Mike! What's up, buddy?
Squirrel! Hey, is that the porn star, Clint?
Do what?
Is that the porn star, Clint, right here?
Yes, the porn star, yeah.
That's what I thought. How you guys doing, man? How you guys doing?
Good, what's up, dude?
No, not a whole lot. Just getting back in Fort Smith, got off work, getting ready to head to the gym, get these guys ready for October.
Now, you've got a new job.
Oh, yeah, I do. I love it. I'm working for Arkansas Refrigeration System. Yeah, great job.
Nice. Proud of you, man. Good deal. Hey, give me your thoughts firsthand on what you saw DeMario Cade do on Saturday night.
DeMario Cade, my little brother Nico, he dominated, really, straight out the bat. You know, he came in. That was one of the best fights I've seen him in a long time. He just went in and dominated, got the bag, hung on like a spider monkey. Oh, boy, did some corkscrew jump spin trying to get him off, but Nico held on, got the rear naked choke in, got it in, sunk in, and then turned around. Oh, boy, had some good defense, laid some beautiful ground and pound down, and then
1:13
ended up getting the choke in at 1:13. And I couldn't be more proud of him.
Now, is he the amateur flyweight champion now?
Yes, he is the Sugar Creek Showdown's amateur flyweight champion now.
Now, what happened with him with the XFI flyweight title? I noticed we've got two other guys fighting for the flyweight title here on October 26th.
Really, on that, I'm not for sure, Quinn. You know me. I don't really get into the business side of things. I'm just there to punch people in the face.
There you go. I try to stay out of the business side of things, but ironically, I'm right in the middle of it.
Speaking of punching people in the face, it's in the works right now. And if anybody's interested, hit me up. If you want to make a trip down to Memphis, the Native War, South Haven, Mississippi. Let me stand corrected. I got the boss over here correcting me. It's looking like December 14th, the Native Warrior's going to get back in there and step in there, and he's going to be fighting Cody Sheffield.
Nice. So now, what did you say, South Haven, Mississippi?
South Haven, Mississippi for Summit Fighting Championships. I think that's the name of it.
Are you going to be fighting at 170 again?
170. That is my weight class. You know, there was talk of me dropping to 155, but you know what? After talking to my coaches over at Spike 22, some other gyms I talked to, some other old trainers and stuff, and everything, we all feel that 170 is my best weight class. 155, I'd be too scrawny, and right now I like being big. So,
well, I think
like
you would be. You might be a little bit too dominant at 155. When you mentioned that, I kind of cringed when you said 155. That doesn't seem like a good fit. Now I'm a Mike Ward fan before I'm anything. So, you know, that's not me talking on the business side. That's me talking on the sitting out in the bleachers side. So, you know, I like seeing you at 170. You know, you came and fought, with XFI in June, on June 29th at Extreme Infinity. And just, it was a crazy good fight. You know, you guys were rolling around right in front of us, you know, me and Jack Womack doing color commentary there cage side. And you were in the zone, man. You were letting out this grunt. I mean, you were on top of this guy, beating the brakes off this guy, and you were letting out this grunt that I've never, really honestly, never heard out of anybody before. It was something completely new to me, and I thought, this guy is completely in the zone. And
That's a native pride coming out. Every time I hit him, you know, I got to make sure I let my native call out. You know, I got to put that power out. So.
Now, I got a question for you. Actually, I got a couple questions for you. Question number one is the easiest one. Where is the picture that we all took in the cage after the fight was over?
I don't know. We got Christina on that one. So.
We all got in the cage. It was like a big thing, and we all got in the cage. We took pictures, and somebody had a big-time professional camera, took a picture. And I've been waiting on this thing to come out.
That's my T-shirt sponsor, Tight Grip. Matter of fact, I will send him a message because I'm actually getting ready to put another order in for shirts. So I'm about to put it on Facebook. If whoever wants a shirt, let me know because I'm going to make another order here pretty soon. So.
Yeah, if that picture is on there, tag me in that thing. You got to tell Christina to tag me if she knows where it is, or if you know where it is.
Yeah, we'll get it from them.
Hey, kind of breaking news here, Greg Squirrel. I got a message from one of our listeners in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and she said we are coming through her car speakers right now. So,
wow.
Actually, that was at 4:19. She's probably home by now. She didn't drive very far. But, yeah, people are listening to us in the car now. Mike, the second question I've got for you, there's big things popping out at Spike 22. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. They're kind of growing by leaps and bounds, and there's more people training out there. They've got stuff happening. Tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you to kind of make that switch over to Spike 22. Tell us a little bit about what's going on out there.
Well, man, Spike 22, a lot of people don't really know it. Back when it was Extreme Pain, I was a part of that with that crew, and my boxing coach up in Tulsa was also down. And then afterwards, you know, we kind of relocated to River Valley because I wanted to get more into the fitness side of things. And, you know, we had a great run with them, and we still continue to train there. It's just right now, like you said, Spike 22 is growing. You know, I've got guys like over at Michael Priest, Bradley Wark, Matt Howe. You know, Nico's been coming over and training. We've got a good crop of fighters coming up that, you know, are still green, and, you know, they're hungry, and every night it's chopping at the bits, one, you know. So I mean, we got some great guys coming up. You know, we got some great guys there. You know, I'm Jared Basquet. He's getting ready for his fight coming up. Matt Goss, and that dude's an animal. He's turned up the tempo so much. I gotta tell him sometimes to back it down because, you know, me, I'm getting old. So, you know, he's over here tossing me around, but, you know, he's getting ready. He's hungry. You know, Matt's got his Muay Thai fight coming up. You know, his stand-up's gone leaps and bounds, just, you know, from what I've seen here lately. You know, Rodney Palmer, that dude's a beast. You know, he don't look – a lot of people kind of count him out, but you know what? I call him Turtle. You know, he's slow about things, but he gets the job done.
Now yeah. Rodney Palmer is facing Jason Bowling at this next event. Is that right?
Yes, they are.
And Matt Goss is rematching with Jonathan Bowling. So we got the Bowling brothers are coming back. And you know, and of course, you were talking about Matt Goss. You work with, train with Matt Goss there at Spike 22. And talking about him turning the tempo up, how prepared is he? You know, we've got, 33 days left until Extreme Night of Champions. How prepared is he for this rematch? This is a big thing. You know, most of the crowd, if not everybody except for Jonathan Bowling fans, felt like Matt Goss won that fight. It was kind of like watching Bones Jones and Gustafson the other night on UFC 165. I feel like Bones Jones got his ass whipped and he ended up winning the fight. You know, people felt like that about Jonathan Bowling. They feel like he got his ass whipped and he won the fight anyway. How prepared is Matt Goss and what's he doing to get ready for this?
Really, honestly, I'm going to leave that one to everybody to question because, you know, I can't speak for him, but I tell you right now, it's not going to a decision. I mean, my boy, he's an animal. You know, he's turned it up. He's becoming a beast, you know, and these guys here, they're hungry. They're ready. You know, I tell them every night we're sparring. Okay, they're chopping at the bits, ready to hit somebody in the face and choke someone out. And, you know, Jonathan Bowling, I ain't got very much to say about that guy. You know, there's a few things that were commented toward me and another partner of mine that was, we're just talking. And, you know, he's very disrespectful and, you know, I'm just going to leave it at that because just be thankful that he's not in my weight class and he's not in my range right now. Cause I'd promise you, I'd retire him, honestly. But I'm gonna leave that to Matt Goss. So,
yeah, and a lot of people, you know who we're talking about, Jonathan Bowling. No doubt, the guy is outspoken. You know, he's got a he did some time in a penitentiary. He's got a swastika tattoo on one side of his chest. He's got an anarchy symbol on the other side of his chest. He's not a quiet individual. He's somebody that you know, people pay attention to. Personally, I grew up with Jonathan Bowling. I mean, I've known the guy for a very, very long time. I like what he is bringing to the cage. I don't know. Controversy creates cash. That was a book that Eric Bischoff wrote, and we all know what Eric Bischoff did with WCW and the NWO, and that was the best time in professional wrestling. But controversy is always good for everything. And now we're starting to see a little bit of controversy with some guys I talked about earlier, Sean Bells, Chris Brookfield, and David Grayson. There's kind of a big three-way dance going on here with these heavyweights and super heavyweights. And, you know, so I don't know. I think this is really great for business. But, you're right, man. We're going to leave it to Matt Goss and Jonathan Bowling on October 26th, Extreme Night of Champions in Fort Smith, Arkansas at the Convention Center. And this is going to be very, very nice.
Oh yeah, get ready to see a Spike 22 like you've never seen before. These guys are hungry and vicious.
Now speaking about Spike 22, you mentioned Matt Howell, the Wolfman. He's going to be traveling north October 5th, going up to Overland Park, Kansas, for a Striking Muay Thai and kickboxing event up there.
Muay Thai. Yeah, Striking. Striking is making waves, man. Striking is everywhere right now. Thai is doing a great job with Striking. And also, they've got a big tournament coming up. The first time I saw Striking, in fact, our guest on the show right now, Mike Ward and Christina Rose, they came and scooped me up at the house and took me out to Muskogee and to the Civic Center, and we watched Striking, Muay Thai, kickboxing. Muay Thai. It was a great action-packed night. There was a ton of stuff going on. They treated me like a king. I was sitting right next to the ring the entire night, right there between you, Greg, and Judge Number Two. And you kind of got me in. It was like a golden ticket, you know, and it was a wonderful thing. And
I had a golden ticket.
Now you did have a golden ticket, but Squirrel Squirrel is.
I know. I put you with him for a reason.
Squirrel knows the ring girls.
But no, she puts you with me to keep people from bashing my knees in.
That is true. Yes, we're watching for people with baseball bats who are wanting to physically harm Greg Squirrel.
We don't need baseball bats. We get hard enough.
you would think that would be the case. You know, I've got a lot of respect for fighters. Who people don't even know they're fighters. You know, it's some of these guys that they're like, ooh, I'm a fighter. I fight in a cage. I go to a gym, and they broadcast it, and they tell everybody they know, and they want to prove how big and bad they are because they go to a gym. You know, it's the guys that are modest about it. It's,
yeah.
You know,
thanks.
Huh? What just happened? You know, there's guys there's guys who keep it quiet and ladies who keep it quiet. There's people you wouldn't even know that they're fighters because they don't have to brag about it to everybody. But then you got some of these people who just run off at the mouth and they threaten people's lives and, ooh, I'll fight you. Like over the weekend, I was debating with somebody about Razorback football, and he's like, well, why don't you come hunt me down? I'm like, is that all you do? Is just whenever you lose an argument, you resort to – hey, let's go fight. And then, of course, last night we've got I'm doing the bunny ears. We've got a fighter who is threatening Greg Squirrel with people like Rocky Balboa going to go break his knees with a baseball bat, you know. And it's just it's stuff like that.
Rocky Balboa broke fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, broken, almost snapped your pinky.
That's correct. Trust me, I know Rocky Balboa by heart.
Yes. Now, there's a new one coming out, Mike. Did you know about this? There's a new Rocky movie coming
out. Hey, yo, Adrian, what you want to do? Yo, Adrian. Yo.
There's a new Rocky movie. This is not a lie. This is a very, very true story. It's called Creed, and it's about Apollo Creed's grandson. Now, I never saw in any of the Rocky movies, I never saw that Apollo Creed had kids, let alone
well,
have
well,
a grandson.
No, well, let's take that back. I do.
Rocky 2, you see it, and Rocky 1, he's got like 3 or 4 scenes that you have seen with kids.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to mention. There was a couple of scenes in the original Rocky.
What is she laughing about?
What is she?
Christina used her giggle cream this morning, I guess.
She's giddy. Never mind, I ain't going to say anything.
She's giddy over there. But, yeah, no, so it's called Creed. It's about Apollo Creed's grandson wants to get into boxing. You guys can Google this. I'm not making this up right here on the scene. Apollo Creed's grandson wants to get into boxing. He wants to be a contender. He needs a mentor. So guess who jumps into the picture? It is
hey,
Rocky
Rock.
Balboa.
Hey, Rock. Chicken, Rock. You catch this chicken, you can crap thunder and spit lightning.
Yeah, he eats, for breakfast, he eats a bowl of Kellogg's Nails and Gravel. And, so anyway, yeah, new movie called Creed. I don't know when it's coming out, but they should be filming for it right now. I need to look this up. I need to get on IMDb.com, the Internet Movie Database, And, man, we got way off track. We got way off track here. Mike, what else is going on with you these days, man?
Oh, just working, training. Actually, I'm getting ready. I'm sitting here. I'm about to do some electrician work for my buddy over here at who runs the hot dog hut off of Garrison.
Yeah.
Fantastic food right there. You know, right now I'm a little off my diet, but I love my man Mike. He's got his business. You know, great food. I mean, one of the best prices in town, really.
Yeah, the hot dog hut. Great place to go. If you're downtown Fort Smith on Garrison, go to the hot dog hut. Hey, Mike, I heard there's a wedding coming up. Is there any truth to that rumor? You're getting married?
Well, let's just say that my boxing coach and Christina's best friend is getting married here pretty soon. As far as us goes,
there's a ton of stuttering. Mike, actually, I got to be honest with you. I never heard that. I just figured I'd throw that out there and see what you had to say.
I'm just trying to, you know, drag my feet on it.
Dude, I'm with you, man. I've said it a million times. I've been married 20 times and never had an anniversary. I'm done with that stuff. I've had so much fun being a single guy again. It's almost like I'm back in the Navy. Don't take that the wrong way. But, you know, I've had so much fun being a single guy. And I've had a lot of time just to focus on my kids for a change. Nobody else's. Just focus on my kids and be a dad and do great things and have a lot of fun and date around quite a bit. And so, it's wonderful. Yeah, I don't recommend marriage to anybody, but if you guys are happy and all that kind of stuff, do what you got to do.
Oh, yeah, we're getting married. We just got to get some fights out of the way before we do.
Well, so, as long as you two aren't doing the fighting with each other, then we'll be all right. We want to see you in the cage as much as possible. Let me ask you another question. Have you been approached about any upcoming XFI events? And we've got October 26th coming up. It's an all amateur event, so we're not going to see you in the cage. Hopefully, we'll see you in attendance there. but what is so funny about that? We're not going to see you in the cage. But, I think we've got some dates cemented in with XFI for February, April, and June of next year. Like, every 2 months we're going to be having an event when 2014 rolls around. XFI is growing by leaps and bounds. So have you been talked to about any of that stuff yet, fighting next year for XFI?
I am looking at my manager right now, and she says that there has been talk of possibly February. I'll be stepping back in Fort Smith again. For me, I don't say yay or nay until I have a contract in front of me.
Absolutely.
So, we have to find an opponent first.
Well, yeah. And Aaron Cobb does a great job working on that kind of stuff. And, of course, if you've got any recommendations, get a hold of me. You know, people know that.
It's in the works.
Yeah, definitely. And, being on board here with XFI, I'll do everything I can to see you back in the cage. So, whatever we got to do, if there's anything I can do to help you guys out, you guys let me know and we'll try to make it happen.
Oh, you know me. Just tell everybody everybody out there so they want to see me fight in Fort Smith again, because every time I fought in Fort Smith, it's been a bloodbath and it's been a war. So.
And fight of the night.
And fight of the night on a couple occasions. So. And now I've got a possible one coming up in this, is it December?
December.
And then we're heading to Naga in November, and possibly something next month, too, if I'm not quite sure yet. And then I got a Spartan race that I'm possibly looking at going to go do and compete in, too. So,
now, when is the next time you're going to be real close to home? I know you said you got coming up, you're going down to South Haven, Mississippi. When are you going to be fighting close to Fort Smith next?
Hopefully it'll be fine in February. I got a lot of friends, family, sponsors, local sponsors, and I've been training over at River Valley CrossFit over in Industrial Park. I've been coming real close with them. Got great people over there, and they've helped my conditioning go leaps and bounds now. But as far as it goes, they want to come watch me fight. I've got everybody at my new job wanting to come watch me fight. My old job still want to come watch me fight. All my friends, family, even the guy who does my ring music wants to actually possibly maybe come down and perform
walking me out to the cage. So
damn, that's big time right there.
That's my boy Jesse Robbins, you know, aka Red Eagle. So
now, what is your walkout music?
My walkout song is from my man Jesse Robbins. The song is called Native Nation, you know, and it's, like I said, it speaks for itself. It's not just, you know, I'm Choctaw and Acoma Pueblo, you know, and it's just not that, and it's just not for the Choctaws, and, you know, it's for every Native out there, you know, everyone that's going through a struggle. Every Native American knows what I'm saying when we know we go through the struggle, so.
Now, Jesse Robbins has a channel on Facebook, or on YouTube, sorry, and Native Nation is on there. So, you know, you can go to your Google, if you got Google Chrome, go up in your search bar, type in Jesse Robbins, Native Nation, and that song is there. And that's some good stuff. So I may play that on XFI Live here before long.
Sounds good. I gotta go. I gotta go do my electrician job. So I gotta get this done before I can go head over to CrossFit and get my.
There you go. Well, hey, tell Christina Hay for us, and you guys keep doing what you're doing, and keep training, keep hitting that gym, and we'll check in with us every now and then. We'll keep up with you.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's flag nor fail. You know, I ain't gonna wave that white flag, and I ain't gonna fail. So.
That's right.
Always work, hustle, and kill. So I'll see you later, guys.
All right, guys.
All right. That's our buddy Big Mike right there.
Mike Ward, yeah, great.
Love you, dog.
Mike, love you, baby.
Love you, dog. Bye, Clint.
All right, dude. See you later, man.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Keep it tight.
We will. That's what she said.
Don't forget your raincoats.
Don't forget your raincoats and your Thighmaster videos and whatever else. You remember the Thighmaster?
Suzanne Summers.
Man, what a hot lady. She's still hot. I saw her on
an
infomercial the other day. She's got this Shockmaster thing that she puts on her face, and she claims that she's never had plastic surgery. She looks like she has, but that's neither here nor there. But she's got this infomercial where she's putting something on her face, looks like a vibrating type of, well, I shouldn't have said that. Looks like a, it looks like an instrument of
death.
Well, anyway, it looks like something. You hold it in your hand, you stick it on your face, and it shocks you. It shocks your muscles, and it's supposed to tighten your face up, manually.
I know the fans can't see this, but I'm about to post a picture of a lady that I have always thought was beautiful. But
is
then,
is it that big lady from Identity Theft movie?
No, not her.
Dude, she's hot, man. I don't care what anybody says. That lady, she is. Who is that? Who's that girl, that lady I used to have the topless video of when I was a kid that my parents don't know about? Well, Anna Nicole Smith, for one. She was in a swimming pool. It was amazing. Jenny McCarthy. Jenny McCarthy. Yeah, Jenny McCarthy's cousin. Whatever her name is, McCarthy. She was on Mike and Molly, the show.
Right.
I've got a secret crush on her for some reason. I don't know what the deal. You know, I love a woman with a sense of humor. You know, that's one thing I look for. You know, a lot of people ask me, they're like, Clint, when you date, man, what do you look for in a woman? The first thing I notice is teeth. Well, yeah, they got to be breathing. But I notice teeth. I got to have, you know, somebody who doesn't take care of their teeth is somebody who doesn't wipe their own ass. And so I don't want to be with a woman who's got bad teeth. I don't know why that's the first thing I go for. Probably because I've got perfect teeth. No braces ever, not a crooked tooth in my mouth, in 32 years and never a cavity. But I notice teeth. The second thing I look for is a sense of humor. I got to have somebody who can give and take. And I'm talking about jokes. They can tell jokes. They can take jokes. They can, you know, that's the best part about it. There's got to be a line of communication there. If there's no line of communication, if I got to be the funny one all the time, I don't like that. I like somebody who can make me laugh. I'm tired of making other people laugh. You know, I taught classes, you know, taught adults for years now, and I'm used to making everybody laugh, and I don't. Sometimes I get tired of doing that, man. Sometimes I just don't feel like making people laugh, and sometimes I just feel like laughing. I feel like having somebody make me laugh.
Okay, so I'm about to post this picture, and this lady is still beautiful, even at 70 years old.
Raquel Welch.
Yes.
Yes! How did I guess that? 23 points for Clint Davis with the right guess. All right, we got it on the scoreboard, 23 points. That was a 23-point shot right there.
Okay, well, I just posted a picture of her.
Oh, did I say that after you posted the picture or before?
No, yeah, you said that before I posted the picture.
Yes.
Yeah, look at her now. Now go look at the picture now.
I would like to have sexual relations with that woman. Let's see. Is that a good Bill Clinton impression?
That was real good.
I've been asked by a gentleman named Michael Burhan, who is with the Mega Powers Radio guys up north. And he's actually in England, and I have been asked to do voiceovers for their next short film that they're putting out. And they want the first thing they want me to do is a Bill Clinton voiceover. So I will have credits, movie credits on IMDb.com. And I will be my voice will be featured in a short film. Big things are popping with Clint Davis, man. A lot of people don't know, but
okay,
you know,
well,
I've been sorry.
Go look at a picture of Raquel Welch.
Gregory Squirrel. How is Mama Squirrel doing right now?
Mama Squirrel is awesome.
Good. All right, Squirrel, I gotta tell you something about your profile picture. Only the ladies wear shades on their heads anymore.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. It ain't the 90s. Damn! She is fine. Yeah, dude. That is one smoking hot lady. It's like her body hasn't even aged. You know, you look at 70-year-old women and they've got wrinkles everywhere. Her arms are looking good. Her chest, neck area is looking fine. Holy jeez. I look at her, I feel like doing a little Muay Thai.
Oh. Well,
actually, I feel like doing some jiu-jitsu when I look at her. Don't tell me you're wrapping up the show.
Well, I was going to.
Why? It's 5:07. What are you doing?
Workout, buddy.
Oh, you got a workout?
I've lost 11 pounds, my man.
Great success, man. Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, I've said it before. Losing 80 pounds was the single greatest thing that I ever did in my life. I've had some health problems. You know, people don't know this. When I was in the Navy, we were in the Persian Gulf in 2003 when the war in Iraq first started. Saddam was, this is a true story. You ask anybody who was on the USS Nassau. Saddam was threatening the world with chemical and biological weapons. We had to get smallpox vaccinations. You know, I'm one of the only people born after the 60s who has a smallpox vaccine scar on my arm. We had to get anthrax vaccinations, and I tell you, I have not been the same since I was vaccinated for anthrax. You know, I've had high blood pressure since then. There's some people that have died from the vaccination. You know, so I had some health problems. They put me on some medicine, and I gained a bunch of weight. Dude, I tell you what, man, I weighed in one day at 279 pounds. They rushed me to an urgent care facility because my blood pressure was out of whack. I was down in Fort Worth, Texas, at Bank of America and, you know, for work and taking some classes and learning how to train and things like that. I was scared, man. And my doctor looked at me and he said, buddy, you either need to do something or you're going to die, basically. And I did something. I went on a diet. I disciplined myself. I ate the right foods. I drank the right liquids. And I lost 80 pounds. It was the greatest thing I ever did. And now I'm back in a size 2. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm probably about 198 these days, and you know, feeling good, looking good.
That's
and,
what size she wears. Size 2? Okay.
Size 2. I love a good size 2. But, yeah, hey, losing all that weight was the greatest thing I ever did. I've never felt better in my life. And I'm behind
well, you
on this, man. You can do it.
Well, you know, I'm excited about this because 2 weeks ago I went up to Joplin, Missouri to announce boxing and MMA event up there. And that was literally the first time in about 2 years that I could actually button my jacket and it don't feel tight on me.
I noticed that. Yeah, you look great in that suit, man.
I mean, I was very excited about that, and so like I say, you know, I've been weighing every Friday, and I've been on this program for four weeks now, almost a little over a month. And I've lost 11 pounds, 6% body fat, and my energy level. And I just want to give a big shout-out to Rhonda Porter and the crew over at Fayetteville Nutrition Center. Because they're
you
guys the ones
need to make
who,
a commercial for them. You got to have a commercial for them.
I'm trying to get one from them, so get
just
them
make
on
one.
Here.
Make one. I'm about to, you know, I've got sponsors for XFI Live. I'm about to get on, I need to find a program or something, YouTube. I don't know what I can do, but I need to find something where I can make a commercial for photography by Alyssa Ray and Leah's Four Paws Pet Salon and Poto Pound Pups and Palmer Brothers Motorsports, Spike 22 Academy, Arkansas. I need to get a hold of Matt and Jamie and see if we can do a commercial for them. That would be wonderful if we could.
Yes, it would. And you know, and I've been promoting that. Is that, I mean, all these, I almost said it, but I caught myself. Thank you very much. But, you know, I've been putting the word out to promoters. I don't care if I announce your events or not. I want to be able to help promote your event because we promote MMA. Now, we may not get along with all the fighters, but that's neither here nor there. We're here to promote these fighters because and promote these different promotions, whether it's here local, whether it's across the United States. So if there's any promoters out there listening right now, Sean Bales, perfect example. He got a hold of Cage of Honor, Aaron Boswell, and Aaron emailed me the commercial for their event. And so I want everybody to do that. If even if it's a promotion that I do not announce for, have no affiliations with, I want to help promote your event.
So yeah, on a side note, in addressing what you know, JT Tilly, the idiot, had said to you about being working for, you know, certain promotions. You don't work for anybody. You are.
I'm independent contractor.
Independent contractor. Not only are you a self-made man, you're also a United States Martial Arts Hall of Famer.
Well, I am.
You are what you are. I is what I is. That's definitely true. And I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud to call you probably one of my closest friends. I know we don't live next to each other. We don't hang out. We only see each other at events. But, you know, we talk a lot. We talk on Facebook. We talk on the phone when I answer it. And we you know, talk on a radio show. And, you know, me and you, I just feel like we've got this. I'm not trying to get sappy and I don't need hugs and kisses. But I feel like you and I've got this. This chemistry that not a lot of people have. It's not easy to jump on a radio show when you're not in the same studio with somebody else, and it's not easy to do this kind of stuff. People think this is the easiest thing. Oh, I could do an internet radio show. Well, get your big ass on the radio and do it then. I don't see a whole lot of people doing this kind of stuff, and you know, of course, me. I mean, I do my show by myself most of the time. Well, actually, pretty much all the time. There's times, you know, I've had fighters on, I've had you on a couple times, but you know, it's tough business to carry on you know, a conversation with yourself for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. I've done 2 hour shows by myself before. And you know, I feel like me and you have the ability to jump on and get this thing done. I like it.
Oh yeah. Well, I did want to mention one more thing. Local MMA Online, Christina Rose, and you know, our buddy Mike Ward, They got local MMA online if you want to keep track of MMA in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri. Jump on their Facebook page, and they're always going to events and posting the results and everything. I love Mike and Christina.
Yeah, good people, man. I hate that they're you know, Mike's not fighting for us in October next month, but you know, it's an all amateur event, so it's kind of, you know, he's a professional. Mike Ward is a professional, and you know, he can't be fighting for us. But yeah, good people, man. They're two of my favorite people in the MMA world, and I'm glad that I got to know them and I've gotten to spend time with them. And yeah, man, just I'm happy with those two.
All right, buddy. Hey, let's go home.
Jimmy the Freak is a radio DJ out here. Something real quick. I just thought this was funny. He said, "Yeah, he's a radio DJ at the Fort 94.5, and of course we run ads with them. The XFI does when we advertise for events." Jimmy the Freak said, "Duck Dynasty is the bearded version of the dumbass Kardashians. If you're a fan of this, I bet you're a fan of Honey Boo Boo. Just saying."
Hell no. Every once in a while, I will watch Duck Dynasty, but I would not insult my TV by putting it on Honey Boo Boo.
I just found out what Honey Boo Boo was. I've heard people saying Honey Boo Boo for months now.
You just found out why? Oh, my God,
Chris. I did. I'm so out of the loop. I don't even watch TV, brother. I DVR my favorite stuff, Monday Night Raw, UFC events. On cable, you know, UFC on Fox, UFC Fight Night, all that kind of stuff. I just don't watch TV. I mean, I don't. Like right now, my TV is stuck on the on-demand channel. I haven't even watched TV all day. If the on-demand channel is on, I'm not going to pick anything on demand unless it's free.
But you DVR'd 500 hours of Ninja Turtles.
I DVR'd all Ninja Turtles movies from the 1990s yesterday on ABC Family. A lot of people say that Cowabunga dude, they were so my favorite. Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. You know, I'm a 1981 baby. I was a baby in 81, and that's when I was born, September 10th. I just had a birthday, turned 32. When I was a kid, man, it was all about Ninja Turtles and Ghostbusters. You know, I had all the Ninja Turtles action figures. I had the my twin brother and my oldest brother and I. We had the Ghostbusters. The firehouse that they lived in, and you know, and the car, and we had the backpack guns,
and the thing pack on your back.
The proton packs. We had PKE reading meters. We had the thing that you throw out and step on, and it opens it up, and it sucks the ghosts and stuff in. Dude, we had it all, man. My mom and dad made sure they knew that we loved the Ghostbusters and the Ninja Turtles, and they made sure that we had the best childhood we could possibly have. So,
you know, they're still talking about doing another Ghostbusters movie.
Man, they need to. I don't know why this stuff has died down.
The only thing is, and this might be the thing that kills the movie, is that Bill Murray has asked that Dr. Veekman be killed in the first 10 minutes.
What? Peter Venkman, you cannot kill Peter Venkman. You can't do
that.
No. I'm disappointed.
Not unless he's on Star Trek in a red shirt. You cannot kill Dr. Venkman in the first 10 minutes. Just can't happen.
He's what made the show, man.
Oh, man. Who was the EPA dude?
The who?
The EPA dude that came in and shut down the grid protect, the containment system, and all the ghosts got loose. And the
That is Walter Peck.
Walter Peck, yes.
Yes, Walter Peck, that blonde-headed guy with the beard that nobody liked. One of his most unforgettable lines in Ghostbusters was, "Forget it, Venkman."
Yes, it's true. He
you had your chance to cooperate. You had a chance to cooperate, but you thought it would be more fun to insult me. Well, now it's my turn, wise ass. That was one of the quotes by Walter Peck, the EPA man, Environmental
Janine
Protection
was
Agency
hot.
Inspector. Yeah, in a nerdy kind of way. Like, I don't know. I've been attracted to the nerdy chicks lately for some reason. There's one around
well,
here.
Always, plus, there was always Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she got dominated by that spirit. You remember that?
Yeah.
There's only Zool. My name is Zool.
Yes, it's true. My girlfriend is a dog. Because you remember at window when they did the crossover, the little doggy statues, and she turned into. I want to know who played the hot chick when Zool exposed himself in a human form, and he was that hot chick in the skin tight suit. And
dude, that was Sigourney Weaver.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. He took over Sigourney Weaver's body, and she was laying in bed.
She turned into the dog.
No, the guy, Rick Moranis turned into the dog. Remember?
No, they both turned into dogs. You need to go back and watch the ending. When they're on top of the building, and the two little doggies are bouncing around there going nuts. That's Rick Moranis. But then Zool revealed himself in a human form, and it was some hot chick in a skin-tight suit. Damn. And then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man came out.
Well, when they were on top of the World Trade Center, whatever that was, the Sears Tower,
yeah,
I don't know where the hell they were.
Whatever building. The museum. It was the museum.
They were on top of the, what was that? What is that other big building in New York City? Michelle Keegan, wasn't it?
I don't know. I'm looking.
Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I don't even know how to spell Zool. I'm trying to look this shit up. Sorry.
The original Ghostbusters. Here we go. I got the IMBD on lock and loaded. Who played the hot chick in the skin tight suit? Janine Mann. Oh, that was Annie Potts. Always.
Seriously? That was Annie Potts. Holy jeez!
The nerdy chick was Annie Potts.
You are kidding me. I just now put two and two together. Man, that just goes to show we should all be in love with nerdy chicks.
Got to dig nerdy chicks.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai. Let's see here. Gozer, no. No.
Gozer.
No.
I'm the gatekeeper. Are you the key master?
Yeah, they walked up to that horse.
Yeah, he's talking to the horse. That was hilarious. Oh, man, I'm going to have to watch these movies now. Ghostbusters, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to the Greg Squirrel Show, I wonder how many live listeners we've got. I know we had one. Sean Bales was listening because he was answering questions that I was asking right here live on the show. And we love Sean Bales. We appreciate Sean Bales and everything they do out at Wolfpack in Grove. Sean came down for Battleground tryouts. And
yeah,
he wasn't
the Battleground
tryout. Yeah, he wasn't necessarily trying out for Battleground. He just came to get a workout. You know, a lot of people cross-train. And I'm telling you, man, if you guys, look, if you're Spike 22, if you're the Pit, if you're, I don't care where you are, you know, Ronin, Team Ronin, whatever you are, Battleground is a great place to cross-train. Hit up you know, go to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and hit up Battleground. They just merged with somebody, and I can't remember. Man, I need my stats in front of me before I start talking about this stuff. Who did they just merge with? Do you remember?
I can't remember the name now.
I'm trying to look it up. I'm on
Battleground. I'm still looking up Gozer Chick.
Battleground. They're trying to figure out how to make goulash. 1 hour ago. It's probably Scott was on back. I love Scott. Scott's a great guy. Never met him in person, but I like what he does and his dedication, his commitment to MMA and Kill Switch. What a great lady that is. They put an hour ago. Does anybody know how to make goulash? Does anyone like goulash? I would like to say firsthand, I love goulash. I don't know how to make it. I'm sure my mother could tell me, because she used to make it when we were kids, and it was one of our favorite. You know, you just throw everything in a pot and just make it. You know? Good stuff.
Okay, I found her. She's some Russian chick. Her name, Slavica Jovan.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Me and a buddy of mine were talking the other day about these Slovakian, Croatian, Russian women.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, look, I mean, being in the Navy, we sailed around the world. And, you know, when we hit Croatia, you know, I had a brief 3-day relationship with a bartender named Maya. And that was probably one of the single greatest times of my life. I will never forget that chick as long as I live. She did not speak much English. Actually, she didn't speak any English. That's kind of what I liked about her. She thought she was going to stow away on the ship and come back to the States with me. And I wanted her to, but you know, we couldn't make that happen.
Yeah, there's kind of some Navy regulations there.
You got to have an ID to cross the quarterdeck, and it's something that is not – it's frowned upon if you – and I'll tell you what, here, ironically, man, I got a message on Facebook on Saturday. I shot my former commanding officer, Russell Jepkema from the USS Nassau. He was the commanding officer. He was the CO back in 2001 to maybe 2003 or 2004, somewhere in there. I shot him a message and I said, "Hey, you know, you probably don't know me, but I, you know, you were my CO. I was one of the peons underneath you, but you know, being on the Nassau, that was one of the best times in my life." You know, and I'll always be grateful for the time that I had on that ship, even though we were in a combat zone, a hostile fire zone for months. We got extended indefinitely twice back in 2003, the war in Iraq. It was a mess. And I got a message back from him. This was probably a year ago I shot him a message. And he said, "Man, I just now saw this." He said, I definitely don't remember you, but, he said it was the crew that made that place great. And he said he really appreciated the message. He said it made my day that I got a message like this. So, kill switch. I'm still on Battleground searching for who they merged with. And kill switch is Kathina Katrin. She is the women's pro 120-pound champion for XFN, which is the largest MMA production in Oklahoma. And man, she's a freaking beast. I've never seen, you know, aside from, you know, Megan Goodwin. I know she's just now starting out in the business and she's getting good and she's moving on up, you know, but aside from, you know, her, these two and Ronda Rousey, I've never seen dominant females like this. I mean, this is crazy what they're doing.
Oh man, they're coming out of the woodwork. I mean, Rousey and Tate have just sparked something.
You know, and they're fighting at, you know, they're the coaches right now on The Ultimate Fighter. And I was on a show. I was asked, actually, I was recommended by Tony Mango, one of the Mega Powers radio guys, to be on a Dream Elite radio show this past Saturday called Unanimous Decision MMA. And so I did this show. UFC 168 in December is when Tate and Rousey are fighting. Anyway, I did this show.
Right.
And we got to talking about these events coming up. And, you know, we broke down to UFC 165. We kind of gave our predictions on who we thought would win. And, you know, Nurmagomedov, you know, the Russian guy that fought here the other night against Healy. I picked the Russian, and he definitely dominated. But, yeah, we were talking. That's one of the things we were talking about, man. We were looking ahead at UFC 166, 167 in November and 168 in December. And we hadn't even looked, myself and Stevie Wads, we hadn't even looked at the fight card coming up for, 168 in December. But, man, it is packed. That is when Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva are going at it again for the UFC middleweight title.
Right.
That's one of the ones you don't want to miss.
Yeah, and see, because that fight, they did a lot of shuffling for that because they had that booked for one of the October, I think, but then for some reason they decided to put it back in December and put Tate and Rousey on the show with it.
Yeah, it's a stacked card. I mean, you've got Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva fighting for the championship, middleweight. You've got Rousey and Tate, Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate fighting for the women's bantamweight championship. They're the coaches for this season's Ultimate Fighter, season 18. You've got heavyweights, Josh Barnett and Travis Brown. More middleweights, you've got Chris Leben and Uriah Hall. This is going to be huge, man. I mean, this is something that a lot of people have been waiting a while on. And I'm trying to find, I think it may be 167. Let me go to that real quick. I hate to keep you on.
Hey,
I know you want to get to your workout.
Hey, refresh your Facebook real fast. I put a picture of Gozer on.
Uh-oh. I still can't find Battleground, who they merged with. I wish somebody would help me out here. Oh, here's the official release. I just found it. Scott Lowe put this, the head coach of Battleground MMA, put on Facebook. I'm fixing to go check out Gozer. Battleground MMA and Crunch Time Fitness are merging forces. A move like this only makes sense. Both our rosters are filled with a great young talent. This came from Scott Lowe. And Codell and I are both on the same page when it comes to producing champions. These two teams are quickly climbing the ranks on a long list of accredited combat sports academies in Oklahoma. The merger was finalized on September 8th and brings together two successful styles of mixed martial arts. Codell Ford has been amongst the state rankings for quite some time now in the 155 and 170-pound MMA divisions, and has held titles in both divisions for a number of different promotions. His knowledge and experience will bring automatic improvements to any team. Scott Lowe, who was trained in San Diego under Charlie Kohler, Dean Lister, Jimmy Sanchez, and Brent Stuklick, has fought and coached against some of the best the country has to offer. Under his guidance, his fighters hold numerous titles and have fought both national and international competition. Oklahoma MMA will definitely benefit from a joined effort such as this. Please keep up with all the latest updates for Crunch Time Fitness and Battleground MMA right here on Facebook. I think you and I were both tagged in this. So, that came from Scott Lowe, head coach of Battleground. Battleground and Crunch Time Fitness have joined forces here. They've merged. So, not only big things popping, around here with Spike 22, but also big things popping with Battleground and Crunch Time.
Popping all over. It's getting crazy, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, wherever you are, there is some kind of MMA promotion around there somewhere to get in on and check out.
That is Gozer. Who was that lady?
Some Russian chick. Can't remember her name now because I've done moved on to other things.
Oh, yeah. You did. That's how we got on that subject of that bartender that I was with over there.
Yeah, the bartender that wanted to steal away with you.
Man, that was probably the best 3 days of my life. I should say 3 nights, but still. I slept all day and then went and partied at night. Let's see. Gozer is the main antagonist of Ghostbusters movie. Also appears in Ghostbusters the video game.
An ancient,
ultra-powerful, malignant entity from another dimension who was summoned to New York City to destroy the world. Gozer was originally worshipped as a god by the Hittites, the Mesopotamians, and the Sumerians around 6000 BC. Now, this is a true story. Gozer is genderless, though it appears that she comes off as a female in the movie.
Slavica Jovan.
They call Gozer it. So it was worshipped by the powerful cult of Gozer. Gozer has two trusted minions, themselves worshipped as demigods, that are harbingers of destruction and primary agents for its coming. Vince Clortho, the Keymaster, and Zool, the Gatekeeper. Gozer has visited our world twice, 1984 and 1991, both times assuming the form of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Wow, so the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man was Gozer?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm 32 years old and I'm just now learning about Ghostbusters. See, it's kind of like Superman. You remember I told you I was totally
Superman
turned off in
alien.
The last Superman is a freaking alien. I never knew that. His name is Superman, not Super Alien, not Super UFO, not Super Douchebag. It's Superman, and I'm just now finding out stuff about Superman that I never knew as a kid. Everything, we were so innocent when we were kids, man. We didn't know anything like that. We didn't know what aliens were. We heard about them. We thought they were green with crazy-looking faces and weird-looking fingers. And
pee out their fingers.
And pee out their finger. Well, drink it out of their fingers or whatever, like E.T. or whatever that was. Hey, did you ever see a movie back in the 80s called Mac and Me?
Yeah. Had a funny-looking little alien in it.
Mac and Me was a, yeah, it was, look, we went, I might have been in first grade, yeah, or maybe kindergarten, no, first grade probably, 1988, yeah, I was in first grade. Mac and Me is a 1988 American science fiction adventure fantasy film co-written and directed by Stuart Raffel about a mysterious alien creature that escapes from nefarious NASA agents and is befriended by a little boy. Who?
Oh, no, Paul was, never mind, Paul was befriended by the pot smokers. Okay, never mind.
Paul was befriended by the pot smokers. What are you talking about?
You didn't see the movie Paul?
Never heard of it.
Oh, Clint.
What? I don't get it. What is the deal?
Okay, you'll have to go see Paul. It's pretty much from the same people. It's from the same people that brought us Ted. So
Ted.
What's that tell you?
Why,
Ted the
what
teddy
do you
bear?
Mean?
Ted the bear?
Oh, yeah. The movie with Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Paul is a 2011 British-American science fiction road comedy film directed by Greg Matoni. Sorry about that. Written by and starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, Seth Rogen provides the voice of the title character. The film contains numerous references to other science fiction films, especially those of Steven Spielberg, as well as to general science fiction fandom. One of the many taglines was, "Who's up for a close encounter?" Speaking of Seth Rogen, Squirrel, did you see? If you can't tell, I don't want to end the show till 6 o'clock.
I can tell.
Did you see the Comedy Central roast of James Franco?
No, I missed that one.
Oh my geez! If you've got Hulu, if you don't have Hulu, I'll give you my login information. My kids watch it. I watch it. Hulu is probably the greatest invention since the Long Block 360 engine. Anyway, that's a true story. The Comedy Central roast of James Franco was probably one of the funniest ones I've ever seen. Now, the roast of Charlie Sheen was good. The William Shatner roast was good. The Pam Anderson one was probably pretty stupid because there was too many females that roasted her, like Courtney Love, the druggie, and Lisa Lampanelli, probably my favorite lady in the world. Talk about a secret crush. I love Lisa Lampanelli. I hate that she's married, but anyway, this roast of James Franco, probably the funniest I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't know. You'll have to look at, I don't know if you have cable or Dish or Direct or whatever you've got, but... Look at your guide and search titles, and it's pretty good.
Hey, I need to give a big shout out. Guess where we have a listener listening to us from?
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
No, just a little bit further.
East or west?
You can get there going either way.
I don't understand that. There's only four directions.
I just got a text message from Dublin, Ireland.
Get the crap out of here. Who is listening?
Yes,
to Dublin?
I want to give a shout out to a very good friend of mine. Back when I first started out this adventure in ring announcing, I did a lot of boxing events. One of the greatest guys I got to meet was a guy named Ashin Galeforce Fagan. And at the time he was living in Oklahoma City, and of course he was fighting. Well, now O'Sheen's back in Ireland, and he just popped me a Facebook message, said, "Hey man, loving the show. Matter of fact, O'Sheen just recently fought on the 14th in England. Well, actually, Northern Ireland, where he got a TKO in the second round.
No kidding. Hey, what is his name again?
O'Sheen Fagan. O-I-S-I-N-F-A-G-A-N.
Mr. Fagan, if you're still listening, add me as a friend. Clint Davis, I want to keep up with you. We'll talk about your fight experiences, and hopefully we'll get him on the show. Man, that is dedication. Look, I don't know if people know this. International Standard Time, it is 11:38 p.m. in Dublin right now. It's almost Tuesday over there.
Right.
So, big-ass shout-out to Mr. Fagan. Listen to the Greg Squirrel Show here with the United States Martial Arts Hall of Famer Greg Squirrel and the not-so-important Clint Davis.
Oh, hush. I won't beep you every time you say that crap.
Did you see me put that on Facebook?
Yes, I saw that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I don't try to be bigger than what I am. I don't try to be I'm nobody. I mean, I'm a veteran. It is what it is. I mean, I'm a dad, father of two. I'm a single guy, been divorced like three times or something. And, you know, I don't have a life worth bragging about, but, I am what I am. I is what I is. I'm not a martial arts Hall of Famer. I wish I was. One of these days, maybe. Nah, it'll never happen.
Well, don't sell yourself short, buddy. We love you.
Yeah, I guess plenty of people do. I don't know, but, whatever.
Some kind of Kool-Aid and stuff they're taking, but, you know.
We love the freaking Kool-Aid, yeah. Man, hey, how many friends do you have with birthdays tomorrow?
I haven't even checked, my buddy.
Go to your home screen. You know how many friends I've got with birthdays tomorrow?
How many?
Eight.
Wow.
Eight friends with birthdays. Becky Calhoun, Sherry Cottrell, J.J. Bishop, one of the guys I had in class, Gary Valiant, a wrestler, Tamara Barnes, Tim Brewer, Wesley Just, who is United States Army, hoorah, and Alicia Butler, who I had in class also. Birthdays.
Well, I have four people on my list for today. Cassie Elwanger.
She related to Bob?
I have no idea.
You know who Bob Elwanger is, right?
Yes, I think.
He owns Lost Beach.
Oh, okay.
The very, very hot spot nightclub out here in Fort Smith.
We got Cassie Elwanger, Kalissa Shipp, Kathy Jones, and Jeff Jenkins.
Jeff Jenkins!
All happy birthday from the Greg Squirrel Show. Clint Davis, Greg Squirrel! Hey! Whoa, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I got 9 on the list for tomorrow.
9 friends with birthdays. Now, I don't know how many, you know, everybody on my friends list is somebody I know. They're either from the MMA world, the Navy world, the Army world, the school world, the church world, whatever. I've got 1,334 people on my friends list, and I know every single one of them. I don't add people that I don't know. And
neither do I.
And 8 people. I've got 8 friends. It seems like everybody was born in September. My cousin Mark just had a birthday. We talked about his son Luke, my third cousin Luke, who's a dead-gum swimming, basketball, baseball, football stud. Luke Vandermolen, he ran for like a 98-yard touchdown the other day. I saw a video on Facebook. Anyway, he had a birthday. My cousin Jason just had a birthday. My uncle Steve, who has passed away, his birthday was in September. My twin brother and I, we were born in September. Everybody I know, man, is September, except for you. What were you, April?
February.
Damn! Yeah, February. So was Lily. February 6th.
Lily!
Good old Lily. We love Lily, don't we? Lily Davis.
We love Lily.
Hey, speaking of people we love, Granny Hulkster.
Uh-oh.
I just want to throw it out there. Just give a big shout-out to Granny Hulkster, one of my favorite ladies in the world. She has merged her Facebook pages.
Yes, I saw that.
She no longer has the Granny Hulkster page. It is Lori Granny Hulkster Burt. Lori Burt is the look, to me, her real name is Granny Hulkster. Her alias is Lori Burt. I don't know her as Lori Burt. I know her as Granny Hulkster. I've never called anybody Granny anything except for my great-grandmother, who was also named Lily and is the one I named my daughter after. She was born in 1908. She died in 2001. This lady, let me tell you something, Squirrel. She saw everything from Teddy Roosevelt being president. She saw the Titanic sink in 1912, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq. She saw everything from Teddy Roosevelt to 9/11.
Wow. Great life.
She died 1 week after 9/11, 7 days exactly after 9/11. She was 93 years old. She had, I don't know exactly what the problem was. I'd gone through boot camp. I'll tell you a little short story about her. I was very, very close with her. Her name and birth and death date were the first tattoo I ever got. I was in Turkey, Marmaris, Turkey. It's a bay town, coastal city. And we pulled in there on the USS Nassau back in November of 2002. I got my first tattoo. And when I left for the Navy, June of 2001, my granny made me promise. She said these words to me. She said, Clint, make sure, just promise me you'll never get skin pictures. And I looked at her and I said, what in the hell are you talking about? And she said, you won't get those skin pictures with that ink. And I said, are you talking about tattoos? And she said, yes, tattoos. You know, being a 1908 baby, I mean, they called them skin pictures. And she made me promise I would never get skin pictures. But I broke that promise, and the first tattoo I ever got was for her. And she was the only person I ever stayed the night with when my family would go up to Tulsa. I would stay with Granny. And everybody else would stay with my mom's mom or we didn't stay with my dad's parents too much. They don't like kids. But anyway, I had gone through boot camp until early September. I got sent down to Pensacola, Florida to go through airman apprenticeship training in Pensacola. I was there over 9/11. I think I got home about 3 or 4 days after she died. I think I was a day late for the funeral. And, man, you talk about crushed. It was probably one of the hardest times I've ever gone through in my life. And,
right.
So I was gone when she died. It's ironic, man, because, like, 2 days before she died, I was sitting in my barracks room in Pensacola, and I got this weird feeling. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've ever told the story really to anybody. I may have told my mom. Maybe that's it. I sat down in my barracks room. I pulled out a pen and a piece of paper, and I started crying. I just started sobbing like I was weeping. I mean, I've never cried so hard in my life. And I wrote a letter to my granny, and I told her everything that I loved about her. And I told her everything that I appreciated, and I thanked her for everything she had ever done for me, the things that she taught me how to cook, and playing card games with me, like skip bow and slapjack and war and everything. And I wrote everything down in a letter, and I mailed it to her house. And I think it got there on September 18th. It got there the day she died. She passed away early in the morning on September 18th, 2001. And I think the letter got there, if I remember correctly. I'd probably have to ask my mom, but I think it got there that day that she had passed away. And so, yeah, that was kind of hard for me. But, and I hate the fact that she didn't get to read that stuff. But knowing that I wrote it down, that I put it on paper, it was enough for me. You know what I mean? Just being able to get it out, to get it out of my body, to get it, to put it in words. I don't even know how I did it. But I tell you what, man, I cried tears all over that paper that I was writing on. And I don't know how I got to write it all out. And my roommate in the barracks, he was like, man, what is wrong? Because, people know Clint Davis, he doesn't cry about stuff, but that just tore me up. Like, I knew that she was having some problems, and I thought, man, I got to write her a letter. And, I knew I wasn't going to be home for a few more days. And I could have left and gone back for the funeral, but I knew in my heart what she would have told me. Don't. Have to get held back in training. Don't hold yourself back. because of a funeral. You know, she didn't want a big deal made of her funeral. She just wanted to go out in style, you know. And I never visited her grave until her daughter, my mom's mom, my grandmother, she passed away in 2005. It was 4 years later. And her funeral was in Oklahoma City. And those two are buried right next to each other. My granny and my Mimo, they're buried next to each other. And that was the very first time that I saw her grave. And it was kind of hard for me. But how did we get on this subject? What happened there?
I have no idea. But it's a good subject.
A little insight into the life of Clint Davis here. You know, I'm a sentimental guy, and I value my family. I love my family. And so anyway, but yeah, the anniversary of her passing was here just a few days ago, September 18th, and that is a date that I have inked into my left shoulder. I'll always have it for
your
the rest of my
pictures.
Life. My skin pictures, yeah. And ironically, here's the deal: I got my granny, I got Lily on my left arm, and now, you know, Lily, my daughter, she's learning how to read, and she looked at my shoulder the other day and she said, "Why does your arm say Lily?" And I got to tell her the story. It was amazing. You know, she didn't, you know, my granny passed away 7 years before Lily got here. You know, my granny was born in 1908, and my daughter was born in 2008, 100 years after. You know, and ironically, my granny was born on December 15th, and my son was born on December 15th. So it's like both my kids, yeah, are tied into her somehow, you know, and it's amazing to me. You know, how that worked out. But I got my granny, I got Lily on my left shoulder. I got my grandmother, my Mimo. She always wanted to be called grandmother, but we didn't do it. We called her Mimo. I got a tattoo for her. I've got wings and her initials on my right shoulder. And then I've got what they call an ambigram. Have you ever heard of those?
I've heard of them, but I haven't really got into the details.
If people don't know what an ambigram is, Google it. Look it up. You type in two names. If they have the same amount of letters, both names, there's a website that will generate how to make the name look like the other name. One name look like the other name. You can turn it upside down. And so I've got an ambigram on my right wrist. And if you look at it right side up, it says Chuck, which is my dad, Coach Davis, and if you look at it upside down, it says Terry, which is my mom's name. So it's kind of awesome.
Sweet.
Good stuff, man.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, brother, I think it's time to go to the house.
I have kept you on way too long today, I'm assuming.
No, you're not. We're good.
Uh-oh. We got a little blues going. I'm going to listen to some Stevie Ray Vaughan after we get off here. Boom, 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 boom. Movie time.
Hey, it's Monday.
Oh, snap!
I mean, I miss Hank Jr.'s Monday Night Football game.
I got ketchup on my blue jeans that just burned my hands. Lord, it might be a bachelor man.
Ketchup on my blue jeans. I miss him too, man.
But we got Carrie Underwood. She's no Faith Hill. But
well, she ain't no Hank Jr. either.
No.
Coming tonight. Hey, if you ever heard Hank Jr.?
Right. What?
Hank Jr. Hank Jr. the third. You've got to look him up on YouTube.
We will. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Good, man.
On behalf of the beautiful Clint Davis, I am gorgeous Greg Squirrel.
Movie time.
Movie time. And we are taking it to his house. We'll be back here tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Don't forget to tell your buddies, tell your friends about the Greg Squirrel Show, talking about anything and everything, and just having a whole lot of fun in between.
Big thanks to our guest, Mike Ward.
Mike Ward! And Christina Rose.
Yes. Mike, guess what? It is.
All right, Clint, buddy. We will get out of here. We will see you tomorrow. Have fun watching football.
Peace.
You can jump out and you can jump in. You can do anything that you want to do. But don't you step on
cowboy boots.